Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 3 John. 3 John. And that's right before the book of Jude. So Jude Revelation. So it's right at the end of the New Testament. 3 John. We're going to read one verse and start there tonight. And I really desire your prayers. I don't know how far we'll go in this study. I'm just sort of going to take it week by week, but I think it'll take several weeks to get through. That's what I'm thinking, especially if we go through all seven of these, and tonight be a introduction, so there's maybe a couple of months. I'm just thinking in my mind, but if you were here Sunday, I announced that I was going to be preaching tonight, begin a study on what the Bible says about our health. And so that's what we want to do, is begin there tonight. And while you're finding the book of 3 John, I'll just say that I desire your prayers, that the Lord would speak to our hearts. There's three things that's really hard to talk to people about. Politics is hard to talk to people about. Religion or salvation is hard to talk to people about. And health is hard to talk to people about. You can try to talk to somebody that's sick, And a lot of times if all they really care is what the doctor says, and they might not care what he says. So you try to give a little advice, encouragement, this is what the Bible says, a lot of time there's pushback from that. So it's hard to talk to people about their health. Well, if they're healthy, they're not bothered too much. Or if they're sick and really want to get better, they might listen to what you've got to say. You say, what's your authority to speak on that? You're not a doctor. I might not be a doctor, but I have the Bible, the Word of God, and God's a creator. He made us. If we'd listen to Him a lot more, we'd reap a lot better things out of our lives. So there's a lot of things we could say in beginning tonight, but I desire your prayers. And I just want to read one verse to start, and we're going to work our way back to the book of Genesis tonight. But it says in 3 John verse number 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And what I'm giving a title to this study, I'm going to call it Seven Foundations for Healthy Living. And I'm going to give those to you tonight if you're taking notes. But we'll go over it again if you don't have a notebook. I wouldn't worry about if you don't get to write them all down. But seven foundations for healthy living. That's what we want to study and go through. And we'll look at all seven of those tonight. I'll give them to you just by way of introduction. But here I want to point out a couple of things in verse number 2. I think you ought to underline that John, he's writing to Gaius, and this is somebody that he loves in the Lord. That's what it says in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And I think you ought to underline that in your Bible, if you're in the habit of underlining things. And I believe we can say right there that would be the Lord's desire for us, that we be in health. We're going to talk about, well, what about some you can't help? Well, we'll look at that. But in general, God desires, He didn't make us, He didn't create us to be sick. He made the human body to live forever, and it would have had Adam and Eve not sinned. And so in the beginning is the perfect will of God to be in perfect health. There was no such a thing as sickness. And God created man. He would have lived forever. And one day the sin curse will be removed and man will live forever. And so John here, I start to say Paul, but John, he wishes for Gaius that he would be in health. And second, I want to point out in verse number 2 that John makes a connection between the physical and the spiritual. And they are related. They are related, the two things. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's physically speaking, his physical health. He wished that for him. Even as thy soul prospereth. So there's a physical connection, a spiritual, the soul, the health of the body. Those two things are connected. And so I wanted to point that out beginning tonight. I read this somewhere a while back, and I have not been able to find it. I can't remember where I read it. I don't know. I think it's in a book that I have at the house, but I can't remember which book it was or where it was. But I read this, and I wish I could find it again. But somebody said it's hard to praise God with a toothache. And if you've ever had a toothache, you can say amen right there. But the general principle there, it's hard to praise God when you're sick. It's hard to praise God when you're down. And I don't care how spiritual that you are. You may think you're the most spiritual thing that ever was. But you get down, and it doesn't matter how great your desire to do something for God is. When you are sick, when I'm sick, we're just on the sideline. And where we might normally spend time in outward ministry, maybe trying to help somebody, do something for somebody. Well, when we're sick, ministry turns inward. We've got to focus on ourselves and getting better. And so it changes everything about our lives. But when we're sick, we're on the sideline. We're not able to do what maybe we were able to do once upon a time. And so sickness hinders our service to the Lord. Now, this is just all by way of introduction tonight, and there's always, you could come along and say, well, what about this? And so I want to say a couple of things about sickness tonight. There's two categories of sickness. There is avoidable, and that's what I want to deal with from the Bible, but avoidable sickness. That's the first thing we're going to deal with, and I want you to go to the book of Galatians, and that's after 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Then we have the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. I want to read a few verses over there, and we're working our way back. We're going to get into the book of Genesis here in just a few minutes, but talking about sickness. And there's all kinds of examples we could give about people that have gotten sick. Spiritual people, lost people get sick, saved people get sick. Sickness is all around us. But we can say definitely that there is a lot of sickness that is just avoidable. Didn't have to happen. And shouldn't happen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so God's law of sowing and reaping, if you notice here in the Word of God, it pertains to the flesh as well as the spirit, both. In fact, the flesh is mentioned first. The flesh is our physical bodies that we're talking about. Verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now, a lot of times we just think of that as far as that sowing to the flesh, we think of some great sin. Well, that'll reap corruption, sure. We could give all kinds of examples tonight, but most of the time, that's thought of as being a great sin. But the same thing applies if you abuse your body anyway. All the various ways there are to abuse our flesh. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's eaten, you'll reap corruption. So there's a lot of things that are unavoidable. So he mentions the sowing to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But the law of sowing and reaping, once again, it doesn't matter how spiritual that you are, you're still going to reap according to what you do. I was studying today about three different preachers in their lives. And I'll mention preachers tonight. But there's a preacher, most of you have probably heard of him. His name is Billy Kelly, Evangelist Billy Kelly. He used to sing, preach. He used to be down at the camp meeting down here in Lenore. And a lot of people were blessed through his ministry. I think he passed away when he was 64 or 65 years old. I was reading about his life today. Great preacher, great man of God, loved God. I'm not saying one thing about that. Negative. I was studying about the life of J. Harold Smith. Maybe you've heard of him. He was famous for preaching a message, God's Three Deadlines. And just a few years ago, he came out here to Mount Vernon and preached. Some of you might remember that. He was had to be well up in his 80s when he came out there and preached that message. And years ago, I also remember reading and listening to him preach. He had a lot of things to say about fasting, going what the Bible says about going without food in order to have answer to prayer and have your health restored. And so he practiced that in his life. I was reading about him. He died of a heart attack when he was 91 years old. He worked until 5 weeks, went to the office and worked until 5 weeks before he died. 91 years old. That's a pretty good track. Pretty good record. Anybody that could make it that far and have that much quality of life, I'd say that's wonderful. Well, I was reading about Lester Roloff. He's one of my favorite preachers. He preached on health more than, especially in the 70s and 80s. Maybe we might call him a pioneer in that area. Now, he passed away when he was 68 years old, and I was preaching along these lines when I was pastoring over at Forest Grove, preaching on health, and I was talking about Lester Roloff and some things he had said, and Dad, he asked me something about Lester Roloff, and I said, well, he's passed away, he's dead, and he said, well, if he's healthy, how come he died? I said, because it didn't help him when he had a plane crash. And so he died in a plane crash. He's 68 years old. So you got three different preachers there, three different examples. 68, that's pretty young, but a plane crash, that's unavoidable. J. Harold Smith, no doubt a product of the life that he lived. 91 years old, served God up until 5 weeks before he died. Billy Kelly, on the other hand, as good of a preacher as he was, now, I never heard him in person, but somebody gave me a VHS years ago, and he was preaching on video, and I watched that message, a great message, but they said that Billy Kelly probably weighed over 400 pounds, and when he preached that message, he was so obese, that's what it is, he was so big, he had to sit down on the step and preach. That's the only way. I believe that's an example, not taking away anything from his ministry, but don't you think that he might could have got some more years in for the Lord had he not had that? See, it doesn't matter who you are. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of preachers that have lived well up into their years and served the Lord almost until they died, but I cannot think of one that lived an unhealthy lifestyle and lived a long time to serve the Lord. There's doesn't matter who you are. So there's some things in this life that are avoidable. And if we can avoid them, we'd sure like to. Americans are sicker now than they've ever been. I was just talking with Sister Mary down at her house. And we was talking about dementia. Now, some of you may know better than this, but I think all the cases of dementia, I think there's more than there's ever been before. She said maybe people used to get like that and people just didn't know, but I don't believe it's always been that way. I believe there's more dementia among older people than there's ever been before. I believe there's more people dying from cancer than there's ever been before. Every week we come together, we have prayer requests, and every week there's somebody else that's got cancer. No matter how much money is spent on it, no matter how much research goes towards it, there's no cure in sight. And there's more people getting it all the time. All kind, going to the doctor, having tests, heart problems, heart attacks, breathing problems, diabetes, children. There's more children has medical problems now than when I was growing up. Just an observation ought to let us know these things. When I was growing up, when I was in high school, there was one boy that I knew that had asthma. Now, children that have asthma are just as common as allergies. When I was growing up, there's one or two that had allergies. I mean, that went all the time with a runny nose. But now everybody's got allergies. There's something not right in our society. And so I'm just giving by way of example. The other day, I was in the truck and I was listening to the news, and I didn't catch which news source it was from, but I wish I tried to go back and find it, but I couldn't. But it's not been more than a week ago. And on the news, the top of the hour headline said that in America, if something does not change in a few years, hospitals will be consumed with caring for heart patients and diabetics. That it is growing so fast that in a few years, that's all hospitals. They're just going to be flooded with people that just have those two problems if something does not change. And it said on the news that they were thinking that it had something to do with their diet. And I thought, boy, I'd like to get paid to told them that. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It just shouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's wrong with us in America as far as our health is concerned. But most of the people that are sick don't have to be. It's unavoidable. We make ourselves sick through sowing to the flesh, and it is just simply a result of reaping what we've sown. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. So there's sickness that is avoidable, and that's what we're going to be dealing with. But while we're here, I want to say just a little bit about sickness that is unavoidable. Sometimes sickness is unavoidable. John chapter 11, look over there. I'm going to give one example from the Bible. We could give several, but in John chapter number 11 is the best example that I could find of sickness that was unavoidable. And John chapter 11, I'm going to read one verse, but this is about Lazarus. Everybody knows about Lazarus. He died and the Lord Jesus brought him back to life. But they sent for Jesus and he didn't come for, what was it, 4 days? And Lazarus had already died. And verse number 3 said, therefore his sisters, John 11 and 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so we don't know, but Lazarus, he could have been the perfect picture of health. But God allowed this sickness to come into his life, and he died. Well, that just doesn't seem right, does it? He died, he was resurrected, but you know what? He had to die again. Poor Lazarus had to die 2 times. And 1 time, we know that he got sick and died. Now, not everybody gets sick and dies, but everybody is going to die, and most people are going to get sick before they die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And a lot of people, if you talk to them about health, they'll say, "Oh, preacher, you're going to die." Skinny people die hungry. And I don't want to die hungry. I had somebody say that to me a while back. They actually put it on Facebook. And they said this. They said, "I've been to the doctor, and he said I'm high blood pressure, pre-diabetic, mentioned two or three or four different things, told him he needed to lose weight, and he said that." He said, "But skinny people die hungry," just making light of it. And I told Kim, I said, "Well, get down there and get sick. It's easy to laugh and joke about stuff when you're healthy, but you get sick and say something like that. I mean, that's what's going to happen." The doctor's done told him. But sometimes sickness is unavoidable. People get sick. God uses things. He works all things together for good. It's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. Sometimes we're going to get sick, and it is unavoidable. And we've just got to look and have faith in the Lord that whatever's come into our life, that God can get glory and honor out of it. But we all have an appointment to die. We're all going to die. I'm not preaching we're not going to die or never going to get sick. Because we are. It's part of the result of the curse upon sin in Genesis chapter number 3. But I've got an aunt, and she might get me if she knows that I told this. But she is very near 70 years old. 35 years ago, she was very sickly. She's a cancer survivor. She had cancer. She's now been cancer-free for many, many years. She goes to the wellness center 3 or 4 times a week. And I was talking with her just a couple of weeks ago about that. And she told me, talking about going over there and exercising, she said, "I'd rather go over there and do that than take a pill." That's what she said. I guess it keeps her off of the high blood pressure medicine and all these things. And I guarantee you, she's more healthy now than she was 35, 25 years ago. She's more healthy. And she goes right at 70. And she goes to the wellness center and exercises. Now, we all have an appointment with death. I've had people say, "Well, you can be a marathon runner and fall over dead." And that's true. That's true. We all have an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. My appointment, I'm going to say, my appointment might be at 70 years old. I don't know it, but God might know when I'm 70 that I'm going to die. And if I am, well, there's nothing I can do about that. But I'll tell you this, I don't want to spend the last 10, 15, 20 years of my 70 years in the doctor's office if I can help it. And that's what a lot of people do. They spend their last years sick and sicker. Well, if I can help it, I don't want to spend my last years like that. We're talking about, none of us know quantity. We don't know how long we're going to live. So all we can do is deal in quality. Did I say that right? We don't know how long, but we can deal in quality of life. While I'm here, I would like to be healthy. And so if I can, I'd like to avoid sickness as much as possible. Now, go to Genesis chapter number 2. Now, I'm quickly going to go through these 7 foundations. When you have a foundation, and this is all by way of introduction, when you have a foundation, that's something to build on. And we have everything that we need in the Word of God. 7 foundations for healthy living. Genesis chapter number 1. I'll start over there, but we're going to look at 7 things. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 1 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her 7 pillars." So I'm going to give you 7 things from the book of Genesis chapter 2. 7's a good Bible number. It's God's number. of perfection. The word good is mentioned all throughout chapter number 1. Who would like to guess how many times the word good is in chapter number 1? It's 7 times. Find the word good. Verse number 4, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And verse number 10, God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters called the seas, and God saw that it was good. And verse 12, the last part of the verse, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 18, and God saw that it was good. And verse 21, and God saw that it was good. And verse number 25, God saw that it was good. That was number 6. And number 7 is in verse number 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the 6th day. Now, Kim just started over in Genesis on January 1st. And the morning she started over, she asked me the question. She said, wait just a minute. I just read about God made man in chapter 1. Then in chapter number 2, it tells again God made man. And what you have in chapter number 1 is the summary. And in chapter number 2, God comes back and fills in the details about creating man. So there's not 2 creation accounts. I've heard somebody say that before, that there's 2 accounts of creation. No, there's not. There's a summary in chapter number 1, then goes back and fills in the details in chapter number 2. And you find that all the way through the Bible. Things are repeated. That's how we learn. So in Genesis chapter number 2, we have the creation of man. And we're going to look at that. We have the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we have our foundations for healthy living. Now, this is free. Isn't that a blessing? You don't have to go to John Hopkins and the Mayo Clinic to find out truth. You just got to go to the Word of God, and it's free. It's free. You and I could get a whole lot of help for free if we would. But a lot of people just about seems like rather run to the world. But this is free. And so it's a blessing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Number 1. What do we need? We need air. 7 foundations for healthy living. We need pure air. Verse 7 said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I like to imagine the Bible in my mind, and I can just imagine Adam laying there like a dead man. A good-looking dead man, a perfect man, but he had no life in him. He was perfectly formed, created, had all of his limbs, had all of his skin, hair, all of those things, but there he lay, a lifeless body. And the Word of God says that the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That word breathe there, it means to puff or to inflate something. And so the Lord blew him up. I like to sort of imagine it like a lifeguard, and the man's there on the beach, and they give him mouth to mouth, and when their breath comes back into him, you'll see him gasp and come back to life. I sort of like to imagine Adam was like that. He's laying there, and the Lord inflated him, breathed into his nostrils is what the Bible says. And so he came to life. And that's what gave Adam life, his breath. The first touch of God upon man was the breath of life. And so the breath of life, we realize from studying our Bible, is likened unto the Spirit of God. Physically, this is what brought Adam to life. Spiritually, this is what gives us life as well. You will not be born again unless the Spirit of God moves upon you. Jesus said in John 3, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." What's it say over there? About the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou can hear the sound thereof. He's talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has to move upon somebody, breathe upon somebody, in order for them to have spiritual life. So we see there's a connection there. A lot of these things I get a great blessing out of. There's a physical application. There's a spiritual application. There's a lot of preaching in some of these things. Man can survive at least 40 days without food. Jesus fasted 40 days. Elijah, I believe in the Bible, fasted 40 days. I believe I read one time about the preacher down in Mississippi, and his name just slipped my mind. Purvis? No, that's Purvis, Mississippi. What was his name? There, I've got dementia. I can't think. J. Harold Smith, I know, preached or fasted a number of days. And so many people have gone at least 40 days without eating food, and they've survived, and they've been fine. Man can survive just a few days without water. Can't make it but just a matter of hours. 48, 72 hours. You'll die if you don't have water. But man can only live about 4 or 5 minutes without air. So we might not think of it like that, but you need air. You need fresh air. You need pure air. And the first time the Lord God put life into a man, it was with breath. So we need air. And there's a lot of things that air does for you that we'll look at, but you need air. Number 2, verses 8 and 9. You need good food if you're going to be healthy. You need pure air, fresh air, and you need good food. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good, there's that word again, good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So several things we could point out there. Now I'm just going to ease your mind. I'm not going to preach that we all need to be vegetarians. So don't go home worrying about that. But we will look at different times in the Bible. God has given instructions concerning what we should eat. I'm not even going to preach that we shouldn't eat bacon, because boy, I love bacon. I do. So don't fret about that. But we'll see what the Bible says about eating meat, about eating vegetables. But in the beginning, we're talking about foundations. In the beginning, God put man in a garden. Isn't that interesting? I do think that ought to make up a good part of our diet, would be just things that come out of a garden. And we are really blessed if you take advantage of it. We have more access to garden food than somebody live in a big city. And a lot of people that are not used to that, but thank God. The Lord God planted a garden, and that's where he put man to begin with. There's a big hint on what we ought to be eating, good food. Man's original diet was a vegetarian diet. He didn't eat meat until after sin entered into the world. And so man's food grew out of the ground. Verse 9, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." Notice that this food was pleasant to the sight. If you really get turned on to vegetables and fruit, see, we get used to certain things. We get used to a dead diet. But if you ever once get to where you can enjoy oranges or grapefruit or corn out of the garden, it is so much better than something that comes out of a box from a store that's probably sat on the shelf for 4 or 5 months. You really don't know. So man's original diet was different from ours. Somebody said that in this day and time, McDonald's was God's promise that the saints wouldn't starve to death. But there was no McDonald's in the Garden of Eden. There wasn't a Krispy Kreme. There was no Chick-fil-A. He ate vegetables and fruit. That's what he ate. Herbs. The Bible says, so you need air. You need food in order to be healthy. Good food. You need water. Water plays a very important part to our health. Verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And you and I have to have water in order to be healthy. And you say, well, I drink a lot of soft drinks and it has water in it. That soft drinks are killing people. Now, I am anti-soft drink. Your average cola has 10 to 20 teaspoons of sugar in it. Now, you think about that. If you stood there, most people wouldn't do that. They'd say, that's 10, 15 scoops of sugar in a soft drink. And so, not to mention all the other things, you can also clean your windshield with Coca-Cola and your battery terminals and do a lot of things with it, but people talk about putting that in their body. And I have preacher friends works for Coca-Cola and all that stuff, and we've talked about this stuff, but I'll tell you, it's bad for you. And I'm amazed to go to the hospital and visit somebody that's sick, and the nurses bring them in. I guess they would bring them in all the colas that they wanted. And they'll even ask you, you want... Colas are bad for you. They're just bad for you. All of them. No, and people say, well, I drink Diet Cola. Well, that gives cancer to rats. If you're not a rat, I guess you... I don't know. But there's a lot of ways people justify things. But you need water. This is interesting to me. You study the book of John. Christ said in him was life. That's breath. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. That's food. I'm talking about necessary things. He told the woman at the well, he said, if you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water and you'd never thirst again. See the spiritual comparisons there is a blessing. Christ is all we need. He's all sufficient unto us. You need water, you need food, and you need air. Number four, you need sunshine. And there's abundant sunshine in the garden. Now, God created light on the first day. But the sun was not created until the fourth day. There was light, and God is light, and the Lord Jesus Christ is light. And that was the first thing that God created was light. The sunshine comes in on the fourth day, and God made the stars and the moon. And the verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. From sunshine comes vitamin D, and you have to have vitamin D, and there's no other way to get it than from the sunshine. And so you have to have sunshine. When we lived out in Idaho, there's a big problem that they have in the northwest, and they call it seasonal affective disorder. A lot of people get depressed in the wintertime. Scientists have figured out because it's farther north, and there's less sunshine, and you don't have sunshine. And we've all experienced this. We can go a few days, and the sun doesn't shine, and people get grouchy, and they get depressed. And the sun can come out, and it just makes you feel better. Well, you need sunshine. God made us. We need sunshine. Well, we need exercise. We'll come back to some of these as the Lord allows. This is just all by way of introduction. I'm trying to move along, but you and I need exercise. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And if you study that out, the dress it and to keep it meant to work in it. To keep it meant to guard it. People think we're going to go to heaven and float around on clouds. I'd be bored to death. I don't think that's not very appealing to me. What are you going to do forever? Nothing. Float around on a cloud. You say, that's sacrilegious. You shouldn't say that. But the Bible nowhere says that. That is a cartoon. But these people, they've got that in their mind. What are you going to do? Going to go to heaven. We're going to do nothing forever. How can you even do nothing forever? God gave Adam something to do in the garden. And thank God when we get to heaven and when we get to the new heavens and the new earth, do you know what we're going to do for all of eternity? We're going to have something to do. Praise the Lord. I mean, that appeals to me. It doesn't appeal to me to do nothing forever. Adam, in a perfect environment that God put him in, God gave him a job to do, and it was such a work. Even in a perfect environment, there was work to do. I believe Adam would have sweated. I believe Adam would have exerted himself. I believe it would have been equivalent to a man 50 years ago, a woman 50 or 100 years ago in America that lived off the land minus all the aggravation. Now, gardening to me is pleasant work. And if you could get rid of the bugs and the blight and the weeds, man, I could just live out there. That'd be all right. The curse brought about aggravation, but it was work. It was work. Look, Genesis chapter 2. It was work before the curse. He gave him a job to do, and he's going to work, and he's going to sweat, and he's going to get the exercise that he needed. That's a lot of our problems as well. We don't work like people had to 30 years ago. And it's bad for us. God designed us to work and to exercise. Say, can you prove that? Well, he needed a day of rest. I'd never noticed that until today. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And from that time forward, God sanctified, blessed, set apart the seventh day as a day of rest. Now, how are you going to rest if you've not done anything? Before the curse, Adam worked. And he needed, God put it in his program that on the seventh day, Adam would rest. There's your day to do nothing. There's your day to recuperate. All that's before the curse. I'd never noticed that before. He had a day of rest set aside before the curse because the human body needs rest. And there's another thing that's killing us is 24/7, going all the time, running, 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 not taking a day of rest. God made you. You need a day of rest. You need rest in your life if you're going to be healthy. Number 7, last of all. Verse number 7, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The seventh thing that we need, a foundation for healthy living, we need faith. There's a spiritual side of our lives. Notice in verse number 7, it said that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. It doesn't say that he became a living body. And it doesn't say that he became a living spirit. But it says that he became a living soul. And a living man is all three of those things. He's a living body. He's a living spirit and he's a living soul. Man is a tripart, I guess would be a better way to put it, being. It means we got three parts. All of us have three parts. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have a spirit and a soul and a body. In verse number 16, chapter 2 and verse number 16, and the Lord God commanded the man. Do you know that God created Adam so he would have somebody to commune with? He made man to communicate with him. God had that in mind when he made Adam and Eve and made them in such a way that they would have offspring. Man was made to commune with God. And until that communication is restored and is right, man won't be what God intended for him to be. And by and through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary, man's spirit can be saved, he can receive eternal life, he can have fellowship with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But man will never be right. I don't care how physically strong somebody is. I don't care how mentally strong somebody is. If their spirit is not right with God, they're not a complete, whole, healthy human being the way God intended for them to be. That faith part is just as much a part of us. Now, science wants to cut that out. Say, that's not even real, but you and I know tonight that's as real as any other part of us, our spiritual side. And so there's a faith side. I went to the doctor a little over a year ago for a physical, and it had been several years since I'd been and had a checkup, and I was talking to the doctor, and I didn't have anything wrong. I just, you know how it is sometimes. You think, well, it's been a while. I'll go and have a checkup. But we got to talking about some things, and it had to do with health, and I believe my doctor's a Christian man. He's a saved man. He's a good man. And I was talking to him, and he told me, he said, most of my patients' problems are spiritual. Most of my patients' problems are rooted in the spiritual. We live in a day and time where doctors is handing out psychosis medicine like candy. I have a friend that worked, I'm not so much in communication with them now, but several years ago, and they worked at a doctor's office, and she said, you'd be amazed. Everybody that comes in there, the doctor says, how you feeling? Are you depressed? Do you have trouble sleeping? Are you this? Are you that? And handing it out like it's candy. But most people's, the doctor said, most of his patients' problems, no matter what they were physically, were rooted in the spiritual. So there are seven foundations for healthy living. And Lord willing, what I want to do, I want to go back and look at those in greater detail, but there they are. You can be looking at them, thinking about them, doing your own study. But back in 3 John verse number 2, John said, beloved, I wish that you prosper and be in health. Be in health. It's not saying you're not going to break a leg. It's not saying, you know, you can, we're not talking about accidental things. We're not talking about things like that. But overall, to be in health. Now, I'm going to close. I'm going to say this and I'll be done. Of all things that we can hear preached on or studied out of the Bible, most of them you can do little or nothing about. I preached through the book of Revelation here a few years ago. Most of that, most of what's coming in the world, most of what's happening on the political scene, most of what's happening in apostate Christianity, what's happening over in Israel with the nations of the world, you and I can't do anything about that. We pray about it, that's doing something, but as far as really changing anything, there's very little that we can do. But this is something that you can actually do something about, and if you'll do anything, if you'll take little steps, you'd be amazed how your health can get better as long as we live. I don't care how old you are, if you cut your finger, it'll heal. God put within us to heal. And so we'll study some of these things from the Bible. I desire your prayers, and I appreciate your good attention tonight.